welcome to another episode of Mirepoix Taste Buds. We are your buds, Melissa
and Emily.
Mirepoix. I was like, what else do we say?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. Mirepoix is about food, our daily lives, and how they intersect. And we have honestly not done this in a hot minute. A lot has been changing.
Yeah, especially in person. So this is a rare occurrence nowadays. Yeah. Well, won't be anymore, but...
that's because we're both back in Chicago!
I know, can you believe it?
Yeah, I moved back. And it's weird because it almost feels like it never happened and I would never lived in St. Louis somehow. But I'm happy to be back, you know. I think coming back after like being in St. Louis... gives you like a new appreciation for the city a little bit, so
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's hard because like you miss certain things about the other place, but yeah. It is nice being back in Chicago and like having a fresh set of eyes.
100%. And my Instagram is not helping with the FOMO because there's like still a ton of like St. Louis things that come up on my feed all the time, and I'm like, oh, I really want to eat that, or
yes,
that'd be so fun to go to.
Yeah,
but there's equally great things in Chicago, especially in the summertime. There's still like so many festivals and stuff going on. We're gonna go to one this weekend that I'm excited about, so it'll be good.
Nice. Which one are you going to?
The Logan Square one. It's like Eagle Fest or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called, but but yeah, if you want to go, there's supposed to be like good music and stuff going on Sunday.
Nice. Very fun. Yeah, it's crazy that summer is almost over. It's gone by so quickly. There's just been like nonstop things happening, which is usually how summer goes, so
yeah,
no surprise there. But
story of our lives.
Yeah, story of our lives is right.
What are your highlights? You got any rosebud thorns?
Yeah, so the rose is definitely getting to get away.
Truth. Especially with that farm you got. It's a little bit of a shackle sometimes for you.
100%. Yeah, it's really hard to get away. And like the few times I've had like a few like weekend things, it's been really nice to just like relax, go for a hike, get some good food.
Preach. Yeah.
Yeah. All that good stuff. So definitely going to the Johnson Shut-ins was a good time. I had a float day at a friend's house a little while ago. Another great time. Just like very chill, very like summer vibes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I got a new tattoo. So like those are all really good things that have been really fun this summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All on the up and up. Yeah. Johnson Shut-ins was both my rose and my thorn because when we were on that trip, I sadly was very uncoordinated and fell in the like riverbed and hurt my knee pretty badly. And like, it's still just not normal.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like it's not a problem, but like if I kneel for too long or like squat for too long, it hurts, and like it just doesn't feel right. 100% right.
That's not great.
I probably need to see somebody about that, but
like a month ago, so
yeah. And that was like my true test. I was like, if it still hurts in like a month or something, then like something's clearly wrong, you know. But it's weird because it's like I don't really notice it until I'll be like, you know, squatting down for a long time or like kneeling on it or something. And then it's like, ooh, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah. But not quite right.
Fun times.
Thorn is definitely working just so hard in general. I think the burnout is real from the podcast to the
real
9 to 5 that I work. And then my extracurricular at the farm.
Yeah. Keeps you extremely busy, to say the least.
Yeah. I keep saying I'm, like, really looking forward to fall and winter, and that's, like, never been something I've ever said.
Yeah, how weird. It's kind of nice that now you can appreciate those months for something.
Yeah, no, I have a greater appreciation for the seasons in general.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I think working on a farm really gives you that appreciation, not only just because like of the work schedule, but also just like really noticing and seeing the changes in nature.
Oh my God,
like so rewarding. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to fall.
Anytime we go anywhere now when we're walking, I just keep seeing plants that have seeds on them and stealing seeds.
Yeah, I love when you came to visit, you just had like a bag full of seeds in your purse at all times.
Yeah, I need to start carrying around like little containers or bags or something to put them in.
Yeah, like... I'm going to find you like some travel test tubes or something.
I keep putting them in like my pockets, and then like when I get home, there's just like seeds falling out of my clothing.
How do you even remember what they all are, too? It's like, yeah, it's like hard. You need to, a little on-the-go label maker.
Yeah, I should put those little envelopes, seed envelopes, just in my purse. Yeah. That'd be a good thing to have on hand.
There you go. Yeah. Life as a farmer, you know?
So what are some of the best things you've eaten lately?
Oh, man. Well, like, super recently, just talking about being back in Chicago, first, like, meals back were Pequod's Pizza.
Nice.
And tacos, because, like, Seattle's taco game just, like, is, or St. Louis's taco game just really isn't there.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be back to Chicago for that. We also had a lot of great meals when you came down to visit in St. Louis.
Yes.
We ate at so many places. Yes. It's hard to honestly even remember them all or, you know, give them all their due. But I think we both really enjoyed like Bar Moro in St. Louis.
The gazpacho was life changing. Like,
it was.
I've been wanting to make gazpacho for a while, and they had such a good one. And they advised you to like pour a little gin into it, and
it totally changes the flavor profile and like the texture in a really great way. And I never would have known that or thought to do that. And I do actually really enjoy gazpacho. Like, I am not a soup person, as you know, and gazpacho for some reason like hits different, and I like a cold soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of soup that I like, where it's just like broth or just creamy, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like anything else in it. It's not a stew. But yeah, that was a great like surprise and a really delicious dish for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Their like vibe too was also just like very cute and
so cute.
A good little welcome addition to that area.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what we even ate elsewhere when we were there, but I can't think of anything.
Yeah, too many good things. I just had dinner at Marisol at the MCA, and it was really lovely and just a great time. We like were there, and like we're the last table of the night, and our server was so sweet and just genuine, and it was just like a really good experience, just like with some of my really good friends.
Love those kind of moments and nights. Yeah. Those are the best.
And just like well plated, beautiful cocktails.
Yes,
nothing to complain about.
Yeah. Love that.
Good stuff. I also had a really good meal at Odd Duck in Milwaukee too. That was really bomb. I was just we were sitting like right by the kitchen and ordered like a ton of stuff, and they were like definitely kind of like watching us get all this food and like see our reactions, which was always kind of fun to see like this sort of like weird interaction between the kitchen and your table. So another good experience for sure.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got any like little food hoorays or surprising combinations that have been doing you justice?
I do have some little food hoorays lately where I was like just realizing sometimes the simplest things are so good. And one of mine was hot buttered popcorn with cold from the freezer Girl Scout thin mint chocolate covered pretzels.
That has all the best combinations right there. Like the hot and the cold, the sweet and the salty.
Yes.
Oh, I'm here for it.
It was so good. And it was just like, I could not get enough of the sensation of the hot with the cold and like the salty with like the melting chocolate. It was great. It's fantastic.
Also, where are you getting these thin mint pretzels?
Costco, baby.
Oh, shit. I need to get on that train.
Yeah. We just finished the bag a little while ago, and I was like, oh, they're gone.
That's like those dark chocolate dipped, like, pretzel crisps to me. Those are crack.
We were debating between the two, and I was like, well, we haven't had the Girl Scout Thin Mint one, so, like, let's get them.
And to freeze them is fucking genius.
At first, I was like, no, that's stupid. And then I was like, actually, it's so much better. Yeah. Much better.
All right. Well, next time I go to Costco, know what I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah. My other food hooray is definitely, like, the things that have been coming out of the garden and just, like, literally eating them when you're exhausted in the garden. Like, strawberries, like, warm, when you just, like, are eating, like, a little warmed by the sun.
Yeah.
Sweet as hell, like, fresh little strawberry that you've, like, just worked to pick a bunch of.
Our niece is so obsessed with them, and it's so adorable. Yes. All the photos of her eating them just, like, bring such a smile to my face, for sure.
Yeah. Big joy.
Yeah. I think my hooray is, like, my soda stream lately.
Yes!
I also just turned my, like, boyfriend and his son onto it. Because, like, they drink, like, Topo Chico's, like, nobody's business. And I'm like, okay, but try this. And they were like, oh my god, this is amazing! Like, why haven't we bought this sooner? I was like, I don't know, but it's great. You can put whatever fruit you want in it.
Yeah.
And, like, change your bubble levels. And it's great.
It's a godsend.
Yeah.
Truly. Well, tonight we are sipping on a little sparkling red, which is lovely to be able to sip on it with you in person.
I know. It's, like, oh. It's so rewarding. I missed you, bud. It's been good to like be home just for that reason. I'm excited to be surrounded by my people again, you know?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. We're going to suck up a lot of your time. But
yeah, that is the truth, you know? I was literally like... It's both a blessing and a curse, right? Like, I love being back for all of those reasons, and Chicago is great and all these things. But at the same time, like, I already, like, miss people more or, like, you know, like, want to see people or hang out more. And, like, when I was in St. Louis, I didn't give a shit. I was like, I got my own things to do. You know, I'm going to the farmer's market. I've got my day. And it's like, I talk to you on the phone all the time. So, like, I don't know. It was enough. And, like, I was coming back and forth so frequently from St. Louis anyways that it was, like, when I saw my people, I saw my people. Yeah. And then I'd be fine when I went home. And now it's, like, oh, but I could see them anytime.
Yeah.
So why am I not hanging out with them? You know?
Too funny. I love it. Well, let's get cooking.
Let's get cooking.
Okay, people, today we are talking about microwaves.
Bum, bum, bum.
And how do they work, you ask? Because does anyone really know?
No.
Yeah, no.
Not a chance in hell. It's just the magic box where you press the buttons and it heats it all up. It's basically like that thing in Back to the Future, but less cool, you know?
Yeah. And it beeps a lot really noisily at you just to like get your food out. It's
exactly.
Like, come on.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. So, microwaves are produced inside the oven by an electron tube called a magnetron, and the microwaves are reflected.
Which doesn't sound real.
No, it doesn't. I was like, really? Okay. And these microwaves are reflected within the metal interior of the oven where they are absorbed by food. So, microwaves cause water molecules inside the food to vibrate, producing heat that cooks the food. So, it's essentially a magnetron, a waveguide, and a chamber. The magnetron is a vacuum tube that generates the energy to heat the food. The waveguide directs the energy to the food. Mm. And then the chamber just safely contains the microwave radiation.
Which I will never fully believe that it does, but we'll get to that in a second. So the insides cook from a transfer of the heat from the outside in ovens and on stoves. In microwaves, the magnetron allows for everything to heat simultaneously by rocking the water molecules side to side and causing them to vibrate and exchange heat more rapidly. It's interesting that it's really, like, the vibration that's causing all of these, like, reactions rather than, like...
And, like, its effect on the water molecules inside the food, which is also, like, kind of...
Mind-boggling.
Yeah. So everyone's experienced this, like, sensation where spots are lava hot and then you get, like, cold bites. What's up with that? Why is it so uneven? So the oven walls only reflect waves of a length that fit inside the oven. So there's sort of this like standing wave that causes hot and cold spots inside of there. So there's like peaks and valleys that are in that wave.
Yeah. There's this video that we have that we'll definitely link to. And like seeing that video made so much more sense.
I agree.
Like, got it. Like it's an undulating wave that's literally like, you know, linear across your microwave that causes these pockets and like could totally visualize it. But what we all want to know is, are microwaves bad for you? The cooking method that best retains nutrients is one that cooks things quickly, heats food for the shortest amount of time, and uses as little liquid as possible. Microwaving meets all of that criteria, and microwave cooking times are shorter, which can do a better job of preserving nutrients that break down when heated.
So, it's not horrible, but... Haven't we all heard not to stand in front of microwaves? Like, I feel like that's always been, like, a thing.
Yes.
An unspoken, spoken thing. I'm not even sure.
Don't get too close.
Yeah, don't get too
don't
close.
Stare right
yeah,
at
Yeah, don't
it.
Stare into its eyes. Yeah, like, look away. So, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which regulates radiation-emitting products such as microwave ovens, advises against standing directly in front of or up against the oven while it is operating. However, they also do say that there's very few injuries from microwave radiation. It's super rare, according to the FDA.
How do you measure that?
But I don't know. All very suspicious. So microwaves are non-ionizing radiation. So they do not have the same risks as like x-rays or other types of ionizing radiation. But microwave radiation can heat body tissues the same way it heats food.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't love the way that's
cooking
said.
Me from the inside out.
Also, it also said that less is known about what happens to people when they're exposed to low levels of microwaves.
Mm. Yeah, so, not a lot of research probably being done on that.
Correct.
Like,
we
we're
don't
not sticking
know.
Someone in a microwave. No.
Or, like, just
out.
Sitting someone in front of it for a while and seeing what happens.
Microwave energy will not leak, though, from a microwave that's in good condition. A damaged microwave oven may present a risk of microwave energy leaks, so definitely make sure that you're, like, not operating ones that are sketch.
So, microwaves do have some downsides. Obviously, they may not be as effective as other cooking methods at killing bacteria and other pathogens that can lead to food poisoning. So that's because obviously the heat tends to be lower and the cooking time much shorter. Also, those pockets of waves that are not always heating everything
bacteria
evenly.
Pocket.
Yeah, bacteria pocket. That's exactly right.
Glass, paper, ceramic, and plastic containers are used in microwave cooking because microwaves pass through these materials. Although such containers cannot be heated by microwaves, they can become hot from the heat from the food cooking inside.
That part I'm not so sure about. I like read that and I was like,
yeah, for a second I was like, what?
Yeah, there are sometimes where the bowl is like hella hot
yeah,
and the food
facts.
Is not. So I'm like, how?
That is true. That's
maybe
weird.
What that's maybe it's a different type of material that's not supposed to be in the microwave.
Mm, that's probably extremely accurate.
Mm, okay, that might be user error. My bad. So some plastic containers should not be used in a microwave because they can melt.
Yeah, don't
and
put plastic in there.
Yeah, hello. Like, I never microwave anything in plastic already. Yeah. And that's because the real cancer-causing danger is putting plastic in a microwave because those chemicals leach into your food.
Yeah. Hella sus. That I definitely learned from you. I feel like you were always like, no, don't put it in there.
Yeah,
the plastic
no.
will leach into it. And I was like, okay.
Okay, I won't.
Because our parents always put plastic in the microwave.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, no one was really talking about it until recently, I feel like.
Yeah, totally. Because now there's all the PFAs and
yeah,
the,
exactly.
you know, all the crazy
PFAS.
Stuff with the, yeah, so. Generally, metal pans or aluminum foil should also not be used in a microwave oven, as the microwaves are reflected off these materials, causing the food to cook unevenly or possibly even damage your microwave.
Madness. So there's a couple ways you can kind of protect yourself from microwave radiation that's emitted from microwave ovens. So never open the microwave oven door while the microwave oven is on.
Which I feel like I've totally done. The second I read this in the research, 100%. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, no.
Always press the like stop cancel button before you open the door because those waves are just coming
100%
right at you.
Of the time.
100%.
This is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Opening
Who's,
the door.
Yeah, no one's pressing like stop and waiting.
Every microwave has the most annoying beeping sound
yes.
you have ever heard in your entire life. And when you let it go off and you open the door, it literally will still keep beeping.
100%. The one in St. Louis in my old apartment literally like would beep the most annoying beeps 3 times. And
yeah.
like if you didn't get it within like 5 seconds,
yes!
it just keeps beeping.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you are driving me insane. But then the timer, when you just had like a normal timer on your microwave, would be like one silent little cheep, and then that was it.
So it had other sounds it could make all
yes.
time. It's like choosing to be the most annoying one possible.
100%.
Bastards. So dumb. So dumb. Yeah. So there's a choke seal, which is a protective layer around the door that assists in containing the microwave energy into the oven cavity. So when you break that seal while it's running, some escapes.
Yeah. You also do not want to use microwave ovens that continue to operate when the microwave door is open. That's a broken microwave.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. No good.
I want to see one that even does that, but...
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah, no, I don't. You're right. No, I don't.
You also want to be careful of burning yourself from very hot microwave food because we all know and have probably done that. I've definitely burned myself on some toasty items from there.
Oh my God, yeah. Danger zone. So this is a direct quote from the FDA on their website, and it literally says, microwave radiation can heat body tissue the same way it heats food. Exposure to high levels of microwaves can cause a painful burn. Two areas of the body, the eyes and the testes, are particularly vulnerable to radio frequency heating because there is relatively low blood flow in them to carry away excess heat.
Keep your balls away from the microwave.
Literally, when I read this, I was like, why the fuck are we talking about microwaving balls, eyeballs, and testes at all?
Well, because you don't want to be too close to the goddamn microwave.
I know, but my God.
I mean, is that why they keep them higher up? They don't want the ball, your testes getting...
Yeah, keep it away. Yeah. Keep it away.
Risk the eyeballs, not the testes.
Seriously. It also says, additionally, the lens of the eye is particularly sensitive to intense heat, and exposure to high levels of microwaves can cause cataracts.
Yikes.
But these types of injuries, burns, and cataracts can only be caused by exposure to large amounts of microwave radiation. What? So, like, you'd literally have to be inside of a giant microwave
to really be affected by this. Yeah. Or, like, every day you're spending hours in front of a microwave or something.
Pressed
I don't
up
know.
Against it. Even? Yeah. I don't even know.
It would take a lot.
It's just a really bizarre quote that I really couldn't get over.
Yeah. That is a great quote. Protect your balls at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact about microwaves, which I was fascinated by this because I was like, why does the glass of a microwave always look like the way that it looks like? You know? So against the glass, there's this protective mesh screen dotted with tiny holes. The holes are placed very appropriately so that the long microwaves are kept bouncing inside of the chamber and reflects the microwave energy and prevents it from passing through that window or plastic. So, like, even if you are looking at your food to view it, like, you're not going to get affected by those microwaves of that mesh screen. It's just bouncing off of it. Which, like, how wild is that? That's all that's protecting you, essentially.
Literally.
From, like, some rays potentially getting to you. That's wild.
That is totally wild. I didn't think it was, like, actually crucial to the functioning.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a reason.
Mm-hmm. Always a reason.
Yeah. So, have you ever put metal in the microwave?
I mean, accidentally. I feel like I accidentally had like a little fork in a bowl once or something. Oh, yeah. And no, bad news bears. Yeah. You immediately. Well, and that's also when I rapidly open the door.
100%. 100%. That's a need to open the door, though, as soon as possible. I remember when we were kids, I think I put a potato that was wrapped in foil in the microwave. And I literally saw like lightning bolts come down on like both sides and like zap that potato. And I, of course, opened the door and was like, oh no. Yeah, not good.
Yeah, no good.
So why can't you put tinfoil or metal in the microwave, you ask? So there's an electric field in microwaves that causes the charges to flow through metal. So thin pieces of metal like aluminum foil are overwhelmed by these currents, causing them to heat up so quickly that they can ignite.
Yee. Or can you? Because the only way to use aluminum foil in the microwave is to ensure that you use brand new, smooth foil, as the wrinkles are likely to increase the sparking, supposedly.
This fucking blows my mind.
Yeah, because I have always been told never put foil, never put metal, you know, like it's always bad. But they claim that it's actually like the pointy parts of any sort of metal object, like a fork or foil, that's actually like disrupting the waves. So you also need to make sure that only one quarter of the food you're heating is covered in the foil, and the foil must be at least 1 inch away from the walls of the microwave.
So many specifications.
Additionally, the foil should have no edges sticking out and should instead be shaped as smoothly to like the food or the dish. And like, yeah, that's way too many rules, I think, for anyone to like follow well enough to be safe. But you can do it.
Technically, you can. Yeah.
If it's a smooth new piece.
It's so wild. That, like, totally blew my mind because that's something everyone is told you can't do.
Yeah. Big no-no.
Yeah.
I think it's just safer to say no.
Oh, 100%. It's not worth the risk. Yeah, it's definitely not worth the risk. I'm not trying to burn my house down. Making something in the microwave of always is, like, the lamest way to burn your house down.
My God. Yeah, 100%.
Embarrassing.
If a microwave does spark, you definitely want to switch off the appliance immediately and remove any sort of like metal item with as much care as possible, because obviously it's probably hot.
Oh, yeah. So if your microwave catches fire, you're going to want to turn it off and unplug it at the power outlet.
Which, how do you even do that? I feel like mine's like, I don't know, up in the cupboard above it. That's like behind all the shit I pile in there.
100%.
So.
Yeah.
Seems impractical.
It's going to be very difficult to get this done. Yeah. So once you have it unplugged, do not be tempted to open the microwave door. Instead, you should wait until the lack of oxygen suffocates the fire completely And obviously, if the fire doesn't burn out within seconds, call 911.
Yeah. Eesh. Fires are scary, man.
Yeah, they are.
And then we got this lovely nugget. So don't cook eggs in a microwave, you know?
Which, like, how many people are doing this? But I guess enough people are doing
it. Enough people. I feel like there's always people trying to put things into my... Everyone loves the, like, you know, cake in a cup kind of shit, you know? Like, risky. It's all risky. I don't know. But hard-boiled eggs that have been reheated in the microwave can explode when they are pricked or someone bites into them. And there are videos of eggs just straight up exploding.
Yeah.
There's no scientific consensus as to why this happens, but they just explode. It's weird also that they would, like, explode after you take them out.
Yeah.
Like, I would think that, like, once it's been fully cooked in the microwave and hasn't exploded yet, it's probably fine. But no. You could get all the way to your face and then blam!
Yeah. Well, they're talking about how even with, like, if you boiled water in a mug and you, like, boil it past the, like, point of it boiling for, like, a while, like a rapid boil, and then you take it out and you go to put something in there, like instant coffee or sugar or something, it can literally splash out of the cup and just explode into your face also.
Terrifying.
Which I was like, what? We'd never be expecting that to be, like, coming out of a cup. It's in the cup.
You thought it would be contained.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. Yeah, think about these things.
Yeah.
Also, we have one of those egg makers, and I always wondered why it would tell you to prick the, like, the bottom of the eggs.
Yeah.
And now, like, I never used to do it because I was like, whatever. Like,
it's not important. I've done it. Well, now you know it can explode in your face.
Yeah, I've done it enough times where I'm like, it's totally fine. Now I'm like, okay, maybe not. And, like, I'll prick you. Yeah. Just in case.
It's not worth the
no
possible burning.
Egg explosion.
But I think we are all are curious, like, how much have microwaves changed over time? Because technology advances so quickly.
So true. So there were theories that high-frequency electric fields could be used for heating as early as 1934. But this method used frequencies that are lower than those of microwaves. So between 1937 and 1940, there was some British physicists that developed a multi-cavity magnetron, which allowed for production of electromagnetic waves of a small enough wavelength, or microwaves, in the development of radar. So the magnetron was given to the U.S. government in September of 1940 in exchange for their financial and industrial help during the Second World War.
Microwaves were created for the war.
Yeah, like, what? It's so bizarre.
So I love random. It. Yeah. Percy Spencer developed and patented the first microwave oven after noticing that a magnetron was emitting heat-generating microwaves during an experiment with radar in 1945. He was working on powered radar set when he noticed that a chocolate bar he had had in his pocket was melting. He wasn't the first one to notice this phenomenon, but was really the first one to become intrigued by it. He exposed popcorns to microwaves, and they popped.
Heyo.
He tried the whole egg, and it exploded. Then he attached a high-density electromagnetic field generator to an enclosed metal box and experimented on food. That way, which allowed for controlled and safe experimentation.
So, of course, the first models were freaking gigantic. They're about 6 feet in height and weighing more than 750 pounds.
Insane.
Totally insane. One of the first prototypes was placed at a Boston restaurant for testing, actually, which is pretty funny to think about.
Yeah. How, like, lucky to be that one restaurant. Like, sure. I don't know if it's lucky, actually. Be like, you want to put this giant-ass machine into my...
Yeah.
That could explode at any moment.
Yeah, you could totally microwave it. Someone from the OG ones.
Yeah.
It's giant.
Oh, my God. Totally.
Keep 6 feet testes high. Testes out of there.
Wild. The first one in public was in January 1947 in a Speedy Weenie vending machine.
Great vending machine name.
Yeah, in Grand Central Terminal, which sold freshly cooked hot dogs. And the first commercially available microwave also appeared in 1947, and it cost $5,000, which today would be around $52,000. Oh my
God, what a baller, ridiculous purchase to make in that time period.
For one little machine. God.
Yeah, that you really don't need.
No, it's like not essential at all.
The next model was made in 1954 and consumed half the power the first model did, and sold for $2,000 to $3,000. And from there, the prices really just continued to fall.
After World War II, when wartime technologies were transformed for domestic purposes, the ovens became smaller and more suitable for homes. By the 1970s, microwaves were widely popular in homes, and food companies started catering to frozen, quick meals that could be prepared in a microwave.
Honestly, we were just at the grocery store yesterday, and we were being lazy pieces of shit. And literally didn't want to buy, like, anything that couldn't just be made in, like, the oven or the microwave or whatever. Yeah. We were just like, no, we're not doing it tonight. And I was looking at, like, the frozen food section, which is something we never really do. Mm-hmm. And there was just so many different types of microwave options. Like, I haven't looked in that aisle in a while. And honestly, there was, like, a very wide range of vegetarian, vegan, plant-based.
The game is actually, like, severely improved, I think. And, like, honestly, a lot of the options are, like, not that bad. The things that they market as, like, microwave meals, though, like, I probably still wouldn't make in a microwave.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably go the effort to make it in the oven or on the stove.
Same.
Like, there's so many, like, bagel bites technically say that, like, you could microwave in a microwave, but they taste like trash in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, like, debating about getting, like, one of those, like, Amy's brand pot pies.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks pretty good. And again, I would have definitely made it in the oven over putting it in the microwave, but...
But nice to have the option, like, if you are in a pinch.
It is. And it's nice to see that there are, like, better quality options out there now. Like, even, like, Frontera has, like, a bunch of, like, enchiladas and, like, things you could throw in the microwave that I was like,
Yeah. Yeah, and those, like, frozen meals in general are actually, like, pretty legit. Like, you know, I've made some of those, like, pre-prepared things. Like, there's, like, bao buns and, you know, a lot of things that are just as good.
Totally.
If you don't want to go through the effort.
Yeah. Which yesterday I did not. So it's pretty wild because by 1986, around 25% of households in the United States had a microwave oven. But by 1997, over 90% of American households owned one.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be like weird now if you like found a house without one almost. You know, it's pretty rare to see.
It is rare. I'm trying to think the last time I saw one that didn't have one.
Yeah, right? It's like, I don't know. Every apartment I've pretty much had.
Yeah, it's almost like a standard amenity.
In college, my apartment didn't have one. And that was like,
weird.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't our apartment on Hirsch not have one? There was nowhere for it to go.
Actually, there wasn't.
We needed the cabinet space. Where would you put a microwave in that tiny kitchen?
Totally. It was so small.
Yeah. That's the only apartment I can think of that I don't think had one.
Yeah.
Wild.
Very weird.
Yeah, it actually was kind of nice because you do like forced to use the.
Yeah, you realize that you really don't need it very quickly, you know, like, and even now, like I have one and it's very rare for me to use it. It's really like only for leftovers.
Yeah,
to me.
Reheating.
Like that's the only thing I really put in a microwave.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And just to send us off, a couple of random facts that we have about microwaves. The leading cause of fire inside of a microwave oven is popcorn and potatoes.
Potatoes, I'm surprised by.
I've never microwaved a potato, but that's just me.
Is it like a whole potato?
A whole potato, yeah. Dad's done it before, you know, where you just, he just like puts it in the microwave and just like.
I've done it to speed up the cooking process where I'm like, okay, let me cut some time off of the actual cooking process.
But you're not
like
fully cooking them in
there.
There is, I think, even, like, a potato button on some microwaves, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
When I first read this, I was, like, my mind went to mashed potatoes, and I was, like, how is that catching on fire? And then I was, like, oh, no, like, a
whole potato just in there, which seems weirder somehow.
Yeah. But also, how long does that take to catch on fire, though?
I would think a long time, but maybe it's because people are wrapping them in foil.
Oh, that's real, and they're like, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, that seems, like, more likely.
Yeah, like a young me.
Yeah. The popcorn surprises me, because it's like, how long are you putting the popcorn in there?
Yeah, too long.
And, like, there's a popcorn setting on every microwave.
Yeah, which also, the one on my microwave is not good.
It's trash.
Yeah, it's trash.
I wonder, like... Who determines the optimal popcorn setting? And is that like across the board or is that vary upon microwave?
Well,
companies?
There's also different wattages on microwaves, you know, which like I just bought a microwave flour press on Amazon because I follow a bunch of people that press flours and they're all bragging about how this is like the best one or whatever.
So you like put it between sheets and put it in the microwave and it like
shrinks. It has two things of plastic on either side with clamps on each side that you can take off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a linen sheet that goes over a like wool pad on either side. So it like sandwiches it together and kind of flattens it and it kind of absorbs the water and moisture out of the flour and kind of like wicks it out of there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I'm a little worried about that thing catching on fire because it's literally like a wool. Hazard. It's got fabric and like literally like you can burn the flowers if you go for too long. Also. Sure. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of fascinating that it also tells you like you should know the wattage of your microwave before you start because it says like start with 30 seconds if it's this wattage or like whatever. I don't know the wattage. I've burned a few flowers. They haven't caught on fire or anything, but they definitely didn't look like the right color anymore.
Sure.
So
interesting.
I don't even know how to find the wattage on the goddamn microwave. I feel like you gotta look up the manual. Yeah, I don't it up and look at the magnetron on the inside. I don't fucking know.
It probably does actually say somewhere on it. I feel like usually on like the top or the back it'll say somewhere, but it's like how are you gonna get the microwave out to you know, determine that. Yeah. But that sounds like a use for a microwave that I could get behind, though.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Honestly, the microwave is in the barn, and it was being used for nothing. And I was like, well, now.
It's perfect for flower pressing.
Yeah, it's perfect for that. That's exactly right.
Dope.
And it's been really fun to see what it comes out, like, well and whatnot. But I've pressed a couple of things that are really pretty. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. New favorite use for the microwave.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, one more random fun fact before we get on out of here. Popcorn was the first food that was tested in a microwave.
Hell yeah. Good choice, you know? I feel like that's something that's, like, very easy to tell how it's working, too. You know, it's, like, very clearly, like, oh, it popped. You know,
there's an indication.
You can see it. It's not like, is it cooked? Is it hot all the way around?
That is so true.
So, but yeah, that is, like, also probably, like, the number one thing that I did make in a microwave. I haven't had like microwaved popcorn in a very long
time.
We
bought again at Costco a giant box of their like movie theater butter, and it is buttery as hell.
Yeah.
So we have literally probably eaten a quarter of the box because it's just like an absurd amount. Too much of butter popcorn. For you?
Oh,
no,
too much
it's just so many things. Like we
yeah, Costco sized is aggressive.
Yeah, it's gotta be like over 100 bags of popcorn probably.
How do you even have room to store that? That's crazy.
We store it in Harvard.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's on top of the fridge in the basement, just taking up a lot of space. That's big old
hilarious.
Box.
Yeah, that was funny because it was like the when we first moved into this apartment, like Ray and Lucas had been here like a week or something prior, like getting all their stuff moved in, and like the one thing that was like in the cupboards here was microwave popcorn. And I haven't bought that in like 10 years probably.
But it's so good.
But it is so good. Yeah, yeah. And, like it's like a nostalgic food, I think, for 100%. A lot of people. It's like you have it growing up. It's family movie nights.
When we first bought it, we like would every time we would put on a movie, we'd be like, let's make popcorn. Yeah. It was like the immediate thought. Mm-hmm. So now we've kind of forgotten about it.
It is like the perfect movie food. I don't know why.
It is.
Do you think movie theaters popularized that, or was it all? It was a thing before. Had to have been movie theaters, I guess.
Guess we're gonna have to do a popcorn episode.
Yeah, popcorn episode. Yeah. That'd be a good one.
That would be a good one. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. This is over halfway done with season 3, so
get your kicks.
Yeah. Absorb it in. Drink it in. Oh, we can actually cheers, buddy.
Yeah, live in person cheers.
Yeah.
Being reunited.